I also want to say hello. I'm coming out here, Edgummit. I want to say hello to little Salvi. Little Salvi, Kevin, and what's your name again? Sabra. he spent his first how many weeks?
40 days
in the hospital at Cook's in Fort Worth. And this is his first Sunday here. May the Lord bless little Salvi. God is good, and he's got special plans for that little guy. I can't wait to see it all unfold. Turn with me to probably the most well-known passage in Scripture. Anybody, what is it? John 3:16. Anybody quote it for me? Yeah, you got it right. That's good. A couple of you messed up. Jimmy, I think you messed up. I'm pretty sure. I'm not sure, but John 3:16. You know, this passage is so familiar to most of us that we just say it, and we don't really think about what we're saying. There's a reason it's one of the most well-known passages in Scripture. It's a mouthful in this one little verse. So let's read it together. Read it with me. I think it'll be on the screen. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. Let's pray. Father, we cry out for your Holy Spirit. We ask your Holy Spirit to come. So come, Holy Spirit, and speak in power and authority. Convict our hearts in Jesus' name. Amen. So, round two, I am so impressed that you all came to hear a second sermon on giving this morning. Courageous Giving is the title of the series that I started last week. And this week, the message is entitled, Dying to Give. And I'll explain a little more of that as we go forward, but Dying to Give. Last week's, I am so glad I wasn't doing the children's sermon this morning. Let me tell you. Were they chatty this morning? Carlene, man, she's like a lighthouse. She just beams straight ahead and just trudges right through it. But I'd have been a mess if I'd have had all that going on. But I did this children's sermon last week, and how many of you were here last week and heard the children's sermon? So most of this is familiar, but just kind of a little recap. I gave out these little bags of 10 nickels, and I explained to them what tithing meant, the biblical concept of tithing and so forth. And we passed the plate one time before they got their nickels, and I got four lifesavers back. And then I gave nickels to everyone and passed it again. And if you were here, I mean, it was like a petri dish of us right here in front with the children. I mean, the different reactions to these kids, and I explained to them, if you want to tithe this gift, this blessing that I've given you, if you want to tithe that, it would be one of your 10 nickels would go back in the plate. So I passed it again, and the reactions were just, I went back and listened to the tape again, and I was just visualizing those kids, and they was just cracking me up. But they would, you know, some of them were very quick to, they pulled their nickel out and they put it in the plate very quickly. I mean, like, it wasn't a strain at all. And others, it's like, what nickels? and then there was one, I know I said it last week, but I just bears repeating. I mean, it was agony. It was agony. They opened their pouch and they reached in, and it was just, it was like pull it. I used to have some boots like that when I'd try to pull them on. And it was just agony. It's like, I want to give it, but I just can't. I'm not sure. And then, as I said last week, some of them were very expressive in their giving, and they raised their hand real high and let the clink, 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 clink. They let the nickels sound as they went in so that everybody knew I'm putting in all six of mine or all ten of mine or whatever. So, I mean, it was just like this, you know, it's like this. It was like this little petri dish of us. When the blessings that God gives us, and how so for some, I don't know, it's just it's easy. We just like maybe I don't know. Maybe it was the way we were raised that you just tithe, or perhaps it was something that God has stirred in our hearts. But it's just easy. It's natural. And for some of us, it's like that. You know, what nickels, you know, or the agony of putting it in. But we're gonna, you know, I just felt like that really captured this essence of this struggle that we have with our stuff. This struggle we have with our stuff. Now, going along that same theme, actually Amanda Junquist put me onto this little cartoon I want to share with you. So if you'll throw it up there, Lee. So we got a man and his wife, I guess, a man and woman there in the front row, and they're in church. And so they're sitting there in church, and go ahead. And here comes the offering plate. And the man takes it, and then he passes it to his wife, and it goes on. Keep going. So she passes it to the usher, and they're back in their pew, and I guess the plate is still going around. And then, go ahead, then the man begins to disrobe, begins to take his shirt off. Go ahead. I don't know if, can you read that? What are you doing? Is what it says. Oh, just stretching. I'll go to the last one. Can you read it? I didn't put anything in the plate because we give online. And I've had people that give online at our church ask me about that. It's like, man, that's kind of embarrassing. The plate comes behind. I never put anything in. People are probably watching me. And, you know, I'm like, so? It's not their business. You know, it's not our business what someone puts in or doesn't put in. I mean, I really would encourage you to make that business between you and God. But I don't know, I just found that really humorous. Now, here's the speed dial version right here. If you do it fast enough, Lee discovered you can actually make a little mini movie out of that if you do it fast enough. But Lee, I didn't know you did anything fast back there, brother. All right. Okay. All right. You know, this. I want us to understand this morning, as I was praying through how to approach a second message on giving. You know, in Acts chapter 11, I believe it is, it talks about the how the disciples were for the first time referred to as Christians. It's Acts chapter 11, I believe, verse 26, and it was in Antioch, and they began to refer to the disciples as Christians. And so this word Christians, I mean, it obviously means a follower of Christ, but even more specifically, it means little Christ, that we're emulating Christ. And so as we think about that, you know, the bottom line, and I was talking this out with Cheryl Slack, we too many times we think giving is about this compulsion to give and to support, and we think that it's, you know, it's just something, you know, to be good or be, you know, for good, to be approved by God or whatnot. And that, when we start getting into calculating, remember I talked about this last week, is like, do we tithe on our net or our gross? And we start, I mean, we're missing it. We give because Christ gave. And I want to just walk through this scripture a little bit slower here, that where we can kind of digest this. That we give because Christ gave. And the first thing in this scripture is that the motive behind everything for God is love. God loved. And I would even make that present tense. It's not past tense. God loves. The Greek word here that in this passage is agape, and it's really it's not the kind of love, you know, like, oh, I love this new restaurant in town, or I love that movie I saw last week, or or it's not this superficial kind of love that comes and goes with however we're feeling, but it's a love without condition, without regard for love returned. It's a love based on the high regard for an individual's inherent value. So God, everything God has done for us, we just sang about the wonderful cross. The motive behind the wonderful cross is love. God so loved. And so I want you to, it says the world there because God, there wasn't space, on the page to list every single person's name throughout eternity. So I want you to personalize that. Write your name in the little, if you're following along in the little handout, write your name in there. For God so loved Jeff. And unless your name is Jeff, don't put Jeff there. It's personal. God's love is not just for humanity. It's not just for everybody else out there somewhere, for the world, this mass world. But no, it's for you. For God so loved you. Second thing, because God so loved, He gave. It's in the very essence of who God is. He loves, and because He loves, He selflessly gives. He selflessly gives. Romans 8 says, God demonstrates His own love for us in this, while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. He didn't die for the best among us. He died for us at our very worst. God loved us when we were but filthy sinners. There's a passage in Romans that I love that where Paul comes to this place and he's talking about this struggle that he has. It's like, I want to do good stuff, but I find myself doing the very things that I don't want to do. And there's this ongoing battle that's raging inside of me. I want to do this, but I end up doing this. And he comes to this point and said, what a wretched man I am. He comes to this realization that he is just this broken mess. And he says, what a wretched man I am. Who will save me from this body of death? Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ. Because God loves, He gives. Are we getting this yet? Just shake your hand if you're hearing me out there. Because God loves, say it with me, because God loves, what does He do? He gives. And we as Christians, we're little Christs. You may think that this is a way that a pastor's trying to manipulate you into giving money, but I guarantee you that's not my heart at all. Because it's not just about our finances, it's about our time and the Christian walk is messy. I mean, God wants us to get our hands dirty. He wants us right down there in the mud I'm kind of getting ahead of myself, but I remember this the ladies had their dinner. The UMW had their little dinner last Tuesday night, and I heard that was a big success and was a neat thing, and they wouldn't let me come, so I don't know what happened, But anyway, some of the men, and we actually had one of our ladies that also joined us, but we went and tried to cover our food pantry. We served once a month at the Methodist food pantry and stock shelves and pass out groceries and so on and so forth, and I went over and helped with that this week, and there was a man, his name was Billy. It wasn't our Billy, it was another Billy, it was one of the trips that I took out to the car with his groceries, and I remember, I'm going to probably get emotional talking about this because it just touched my heart, but I'm pushing his groceries out, and there was a big bottle of ketchup in the basket, and he said, oh, ketchup, God knew I wanted ketchup. God knew I wanted me some ketchup. Thank you for that ketchup. And he was praising God for the ketchup all the way to the car. And we loaded up his groceries. And he said, what's your name? And I said, Jeff. And he said, I'm Billy. And he said, I'm going to pray for you. Y'all are doing a great work here. God doesn't need our money, but his kingdom does. I mean, those groceries don't just appear on the shelf for those folks. Faithful little Christs have provided those groceries for people. Somebody provided that ketchup for Billy. I wish I could have been there when he squirted that first deal of ketchup and just watched him smile as he ate. God demonstrates his own love for us. While we were sinners, Christ died for us. Because God is love, because he loves, he gives. How are we doing, little Christs? How are we doing? His love is not based on performance or merit. It's just because it's his essence. It's who he is. He just is love, and he just loves. Because God loves, he gives so that you and I could live. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son. For he loves and he gives so that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. His motive is love, and his action is giving, and his heart is that he would bless us, he would save us, he would give us abundant life. How we doing, little Christs? You ever been called that before? You've probably been called a Christian before. I want you to think about that word Christian and begin to convert it in your mind. Am I a little Christ? Is that who I am? I ran across a question. Someone presented this question to me this week. So I want to pass it on to you. It convicted me. What if God was as generous as we are? What would that look like? What if God was as generous as we are? And even maybe dig that down even just a little bit deeper. What if everyone in our church was as generous as we are? Would Billy have gotten his ketchup last week? Would Granny have gotten the last 3 years of her life in a warm home? Would the missionaries that we support be able to share the gospel? I mean, we supported a family in Afghanistan. They had their children. They chose to take their family and live in Afghanistan so that they could share the gospel of Jesus Christ. And we helped support that. We helped make that happen. God doesn't need our money, and it certainly does not make us more acceptable to God if we give, or less acceptable to God if we don't. He loves us. Whether we have our checkbook is his or not, he loves us. He doesn't need our money. And quite frankly, and I'm going to kind of get real, I don't need your money. That's why it's so difficult for me to talk about giving, because I really, you know, I'm good. God's faithful. I'm going to be good one way or the other. He's proven that to me over and over. God doesn't need our money, but his work, this kingdom work, does. It does. I mean, when we built Granny's house, I came back to the church. There was about 4 or 5 of us that went over and looked at her house, and we were going to patch her bathroom floor, and it was the most disgusting odor. And I mean, I can't even describe it, walking into that home. It was awful. And this little lady, around 90 years old, lived in it every day. And they had to, their plumbing all up under the house leaked. And so they would go out to the water main and turn off the water. And they would, and this is gross, but I'm just going to tell you, they'd use the bathroom for several days and not flush because they didn't have water running to the house. And then after a few days, they decided, well, I guess, you know, that commode's just almost full, literally. And they'd go out, turn on the water for about 2 minutes, and they'd run back in and flush the commode, okay. They flush the commode and let that drain. Then they go turn the water back off. That's how they lived. In Abilene, Texas, that's how they lived. And so we saw that conditions, and we were almost joking at first, like, she doesn't need a new bathroom floor, she needs a new house. And then we all just stopped and we looked at each other and we were like, let's build her a house. And our church was half the size that it is now. And I came back that next Sunday, and I just put out a challenge to the church, and I said, we need to build Granny a house. The Lord's laid that on our hearts. But it's not free. And we raised $6,000, and I said, we don't have it budgeted. We don't have any money for that. But if it puts it on in your heart, we need to build Granny a house. I said, so mark your check, Granny's house. We raised our normal givings plus $6,000 that week. And guess what? In 2 months, we dedicated Granny's house. God doesn't need our money, but His kingdom work does. So if everyone was as faithful as me, how would we be doing? If everyone was as faithful as you, how would we be doing? God, because God loved, He gave so that you and I could live. Talk about courageous giving. You know, God became flesh in the person of Jesus Christ, and because He loved us, Jesus, you know, the night before He went to the cross, He's literally in the garden praying. He has blood coming out of His sweat glands. There's a condition, I think, I forget what it's called. I've got it written down somewhere. But there is a medical condition under extreme, extreme stress and duress. The capillaries in your sweat glands or whatever, they bust and the blood mixes in with your sweat and you literally bleed, sweat blood. It's a medical condition. Look it up. And Jesus was so anxious. He knew what awaited Him the next day. He knew that there would be nails piercing His hand the very next morning. And yet He loved us enough to take them. And He cried out that night in prayer, He cried out, take this cup from me. Isn't there another way, Father? But then the rest of His prayer was, not my will, but yours be done. Because God loved, He gave so that we could live. That's courageous giving. How we doing, little Christs? How we doing? There's a song I want us to listen to this morning, and I really just kind of in an attitude of a prayerful attitude as we listen to this song. It's a song. It's an older, a little older song. It's by a group called Point of Grace, which great Christian group. I don't know if they do much anymore, but 10 or 15 years ago they were really, really big. But they do a song called "Dying to Reach You," "Dying to Reach You." I want you to just let God, the truth of His word, kind of wash over you as you watch this and listen to this song. God is a courageous giver. We're His children. He's calling us, little Christs, to be courageous givers. I shared this passage last week out of Malachi, but basically the people of Israel, the nation of Israel, was not being obedient in so many ways, but one of the ways they weren't being obedient to God was with their finances. And here's what God, He challenged them. This is the only place in Scripture you'll see this where God says, test me. And here's what He says. Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse that there may be food in my house. Test me in this, says the Lord Almighty, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that you will not have room enough for it. You know, I'm going to kind of get real with you. I'll never preach to you a sermon on stewardship and giving and talk about the bills. I don't want you to give to pay the electricity bill. I want you to give because God has given you so much that giving just flows out of you. You can't help yourself but give. That's the heart that I believe God is looking for. But I just want to get real with you and tell you, to be the church God has called us to do, we have got to become a more faithful, financially faithful church. I see what the vision God has set for us as a church. And I'll just be honest with you right now, we can't attain it. We can't attain it on our current level of faithfulness. And many of you are extremely faithful, and so don't, please, you know, you and God work this out, okay? But we will not be the church, complete church that God has called us to be until we can raise up our faithfulness with our finances. Just isn't going to happen. And I'm not talking about doing fancy stuff and where we look impressive to our community. I'm talking about where the rubber meets the road, gospel, sharing the gospel with hurting people. And so I've done this before, but I want to ask you to look around, just kind of scan the room. Is everybody that needs Jesus in the room this morning? Are we all here? If so, then Scripture says, let's eat and drink and be merry, or tomorrow we die. I mean, if that's it, if everybody knows Jesus and we're good, why are we even here this morning? Why are we wasting our time? I believe God has more for us. I believe there are hurting people all throughout our community that need Jesus. And quite frankly, I don't mean this to sound boastful, but not every church has a passion to share it. And not every Christian has a passion to share Christ with others. I believe we do. I believe we're that type of a church that wants people to know the love of Christ, because I've seen it in too many of you over a long period of time. I told you last week, coming off of this passage out of Malachi, where God says, bring me the tithe. And a tithe is the first fruits of what we bring in. It's not, you know, please don't take this as being boastful. I'm just telling you because Cheryl and I have done this for a while. I don't even think about what we're going to give to the church during the year. I mean, we make our pledge. It's the first check out of the checkbook every month. It's the first one. We don't think about can we afford it or can we not. Now, if drastic things happen where you lose jobs and all that, you know, obviously things have to be adjusted. And it was for us when we were going through a few years ago with our job situation. We adjusted our givings. But even in the midst of when we hardly had any income, we were still giving tithing 10% of our income. Now, God says, bring me the whole tithe and I'm going to bless you. You won't even believe how I'm going to bless you. Test me and try me in this. And last week I used the phrase, I triple dog dare you. I believe God is saying, test me, trust me, I'm faithful. I triple dog dare you to trust me. If you'll take a look in your bulletin, there's one of these yellow cards, hopefully in every bulletin. Now, let me explain this. We don't really use these. I mean, I'll just be honest with you. just tell you, we don't really use these in the church. We type them into your account. If you say, I'm going to give $100 a month or whatever it is that you say, we type that into your account so that it's recorded for your purposes, not for ours. We don't go back and calculate. We don't budget. We don't budget off of these. Now, that may or may not be the right way to do it, but you know what our budget's based on? Faith. Somebody, this past September, we were looking at our budget, and somebody in the finance committee said, "Well, what do we base that on?" And that's what I said: faith. We don't know for sure what's going to come in each week, each month. So we don't use these. This is a way of where you and God. It's like, when I married Cheryl, I signed a marriage certificate. I probably haven't seen that since. But I was promising to my wife some things. And so this is a way where you, when we write something down, there's just a little bit more of a response. And so this is between you and God, even though we see it and we'll put it in your computer and we will send out quarterly and annual statements that says, hey, you pledged $100 a week and you've given $100 a week, or you've given $50 a week, or whatever it is. We're not looking at that and going, we better call Guido to go collect that. You didn't even know I knew Guido, did you? We don't have a collection agency, and we're all of that kind of. This is really more for your benefit than anything else. But I do encourage you to make covenant with God, and I just want to go through this card real quick. In response to God's love for me, and as a concrete expression of my faith and commitment to Christ and His church, I pledge to give X amount per week or year or month or whatever you want to do it. The name and address there is, if you know that we have that information, you just put your name. You don't have to fill in the rest. But if we don't have that stuff or you're not sure, please fill it out. And then notice the star down at the bottom. This commitment may be revised or canceled at any time at my request. All you got to do is call the office and go, take my pledge. You can double it or take it in half or take it off altogether. So we're going to play that song again. And I just I hope that you have prayed about that, about this week. If not, I ask you to pray about it this morning. As this song starts, I encourage you, it's an opportunity for you to fill out this pledge card, bring it to the altar, and lay it on the altar as an act of surrender. Like, Lord, you have control of my finances. You have control of my finances. I wish we'd have got it and put it in the bulletin, but I didn't. There's a funny cartoon that I love, and it's again, like the children's sermon, it's a snapshot of our struggle with this stuff. It's got a little guy being baptized, and he's got a wad of money in his hand, and he's holding it out. The water's covering everything else but his wrist and his money. I mean, does God, have we surrendered control to our checkbook to the Lord? He wants it all. He wants our marriage. He wants our profession. He wants our family. He wants our relationships. He wants our finances. He wants our health. He wants our fears. He wants all of that to be surrendered to Him. So as we play this song again, I encourage you to fill this out and to bring it forward as an act of surrender to Him. Go ahead. As the praise team comes up, I want to remind you also that I said this last week, and this may seem weird to you, but I really felt the Lord impress this upon my heart for this year. If in regards to this passage of the Lord saying to test me in this and to trust Him, if you this coming year, if you will want to mark your givings anytime, even if it's a special gift, if you want to mark that and just say hold for 30 days, we will honor that. We will hold that check or the cash or whatever it is for 30 days. And if God doesn't meet your needs, if God is not faithful, call us up and say, would you tear the check up this month? We'll do it. No questions asked. God, I've just in my own life, I've just seen it over and over. When we trust God, He never fails. He comes through every single time. And so we offer that to you. Go ahead and close this out. If Jesus Christ, as we sing this last song, if Jesus Christ is not your Lord and Savior, as we stand, as we close, I invite you to come forward and to visit with me, because this is a great day to do it. I'm going to have brisket. What a great day to have a little brisket and have Jesus all in the same Sunday. Let's stand.
Seated above, throned in the Father's love, destined to die, poured out for all. God's only Son, perfect and spotless one. He never sinned, but suffered as if He did. All authority, every Lamb and the word of our
Bless you. I want to, if you did not RSVP for our meal, or if you are a visitor this morning, please stay. We got extra food. We ordered some extra for that very purpose. So please come. I want to ask this. I want to honor our seniors today. If you are 80-ish, and we are checking IDs at the front of the line. If you're 80-ish and above, please allow them to go move up to the front of the line so they don't have to stand in line as long. We want to honor them and thank them for who they are in our church. So, Lord, bless our meal and our fellowship. We thank you, God, that you are a giver. You are a courageous giver. Now make us to be courageous givers just like you. Go and be blessed. Go and tell someone. We are dismissed.
Savior, worthy of honor and glory.